God's word for you, Mark 6, 43 to 44. This is the conclusion of the feeding of the 5,000. Then they picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and the fish, and there were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Mark wants to emphasize the miracle, whereas John, writing in John chapter 6, knew that we had to know about the mistake of the people and their terrible sin that accompanied this event. So while Mark presents the two numbers as the preaching of the gospel, 12 baskets of leftover pieces, 5,000 men, John presents these things as a preaching of the law. The 5,000 were only the men besides women and children, meaning that there were, at the most conservative guess, more than 20,000 people there who intended to come and make him a king by force. That's John 6:16. Compare this with Ahithophel's suggestion to Absalom to attack his father David's force with 12,000 men in 2 Samuel 17. That was why John tells us Jesus withdrew from the crowd. But Mark, on the other hand, sees the joy in the miracle itself and focuses our attention on its staggering arithmetic. 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, and there were a dozen basketfuls of leftovers. In Bible classes and sermons I've preached, and in my commentary on Luke, I related that the description of these baskets always remind me of an oriole's nest, both in shape and size. And while the shape is true and the construction expertise, now I'm convinced that I think grossly underestimated the size of these baskets, floppy and haphazardly made though they may have been. When the word for this sort of basket appears in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Judges 6:19, this basket, a kophanos, is a wicker basket large enough to carry the meat of a whole butchered goat, which I would compare to a small household laundry basket, and compare the same item describing a heavy burden on the shoulder in Psalm 81, verse 6. Such a basket would probably hold about, 20 or 30 loaves of bread, the size that we're talking about, and between 3 and 4 dozen fish. That makes the total number of leftovers between, 250 and 350 loaves of bread, and as many as 30 to 50 fish, all from 5 loaves of bread and 2 original fish. And incidentally, only Mark mentions that the fish were also represented in the leftover pieces. This miracle of multiplication is a gift from God to his beloved people. It shows his power, certainly, but also his compassion and pity on us who suffer from the ravages and the indignities of sin and from the oppression of Satan upon our brief lives. Satan only wants to kill our bodies. That's Mark 9:22. And he wants to drag our souls down into hell. God wants to save our souls, but he also cares for our bodies and the needs that we have. Usually, he provides for our bodily needs with ordinary means. Planting, harvesting, grinding, baking. But sometimes he provides for us with miracles of sending food, like manna from heaven, or bread brought by other means, like the ravens that brought Elijah, the bread brought by ravens to Elijah. Or he may multiply what little we already have. There's another miracle like this in 2 Kings 4. Perhaps we can expect that in heaven he will feed our physical bodies through miraculous means as a rule, but allow us maybe to make and eat our own heavenly food as a delightful task in his service from time to time. Nothing is too small or insignificant for God to notice and take action. He loves us. In this miracle, Luther says he blessed their pittance so that they have an abundance. Psalm 34:10 says, "The rich and powerful, that is the young lions, suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." So even when government fails to care for the lowly, the widow, the immigrant, the refugee, the orphan, the homeless, the oppressed, the Lord will bless them one by one, even if it enrages those who are in power. God blessed these people who did not come expecting food. They asked the Lord for healing and for spiritual blessings. Nevertheless, he saw to their physical needs as well, demonstrating his promise, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well," Matthew 6:33. By focusing only on the miracle and the blessing, and not on the later error, as John does, Mark shows us the pure blessing of God unsullied by man's sinfulness. God will do as he promised. He blesses us despite our sins. Compare in your mind the miracle, this miracle, and the one that was changing water into wine. Now, that the Lord would or could change water into another thing is not beyond our imagination, since, well, we know about chemical change, the working of yeast and even of rust in the world, or from the change from soft dough to baked bread or pizza crust. What was one thing before can become another thing in a short time, yet the human mind still must be in awe of God changing water into something as different, complex, and subject to human taste and experience as delicious wine. But this miracle, how it staggers the imagination. Think again of the devil's tempting words, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." That this was in no way beyond the Lord's grasp. It could easily have been done, but then there were no bellies to fill in the desert wilderness apart from the Lord's own. He avoided the murderer's temptation by meditating upon the words of Moses. "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." That's Deuteronomy 8:3. The power of God is only hinted at in this, the most famous of his miracles. To make a meal, even for an army, is a small thing for the one who made the world, the universe, space, and time with a spoken word. Put your faith in his spoken word, the word that says, "He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die," in John 11. Do not trouble yourself with thoughts about leftover crumbs and bits of fins and fish heads, but rejoice that you will never be left. You will be lifted up and brought into the eternal feast with Jesus your Savior, and you will never be hungry or sad, lonely, hurting, frightened, lost, or thirsty. Not ever again. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.